Hi, this is Dr. Epinobi. Thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Dr. Amala, I've been having a rough day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go on a bit of a rant, so I got to ask you to bear with me.
Okay, sir.
So I was hungry the other day, so I heads over to Dunkin' Donuts to get me a donut.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They ain't got no donuts at Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay. What made you expect there to be donuts at Dunkin' Donuts, sir?
It's called Dunkin' Donuts. They're supposed to have donuts.
You know, I feel like there's a little bit of entitlement here. What else do you have going on? Is there something else?
Okay, well, I'm still hungry. So then I go to the grocery store, and all of the aisles were completely empty. There was nothing on the shelves. The only place I found food was in the meatless meat section, and I ain't eating that stuff. It's dangerous.
I mean, it sounds like to me, sir, you've led this very, very comfortable life. I think you're used to stock shelves. Would that be a correct deduction here?
Are you suggesting that I'm just a shelf stalker?
Well, I'm suggesting, sir, that much of your life you've gone into grocery stores and the shelves.
Oh yeah, there's always shelves. Yeah, it's a grocery store. They got food. That's where else am I supposed to get food?
I'm just saying maybe it's time that you expect the shelves maybe to not be stocked. You know, life is not always rainbows and butterflies, sir. I think you need to lower your expectations.
I can't lower my expectations as fast as these gas prices are rising. I go from the grocery store to the gas station, it's $5.50 a gallon.
Yeah, sir, I'm just going to go ahead and hang up on you. See, guys, listen into this. This is why I do this radio show. We get a lot of calls that are just so full of entitlement that I'm up to my ears in it. You have to really stop ranting about these things. Stop ranting about the supply chain. Stop ranting about short-staffed stores. I mean, lower your expectations. That's what you guys have to do. This is America. We're so used to this cushy life, we need to lower our expectations. Thank you guys for watching. It's the end of the show. And scene. Welcome to Will and Amala Live. Will's not here today, so it's Taylor and Amala Live. We opened with this skit.
How you doing?
Taylor's got his accent today.
I mean, I was struggling through it. Your Australian accent was impeccable yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
We were trying.
So we open with this skit because I want to read you this headline out of the Washington Post. We're going to get to the article as well. Here's the headline. Opinion. Don't rant about short staff stores and supply chain woes. Try to lower your expectations.
All this time, I thought we could just expect society to function, but turns out the problem's not with society breaking down, supply chains breaking down, grocery stores not having food, Dunkin' Donuts not having donuts. Those are real stories, by the way. This problem is with our expectations. If only we knew all along that we shouldn't expect normal society functions to happen, we could have just realized that the problem is really with us and our expectations.
Right. Why should you be used to the comfort and the convenience and the capital and the product that you've been used to your entire life living here in America? Switch it up. Lower your expectations. The life has been cushy for you. Now, I'm not one to look at a headline and automatically feel a certain way about it or be outraged. Sometimes these are just some clickbaity headlines. Again, the headline on this is opinion. Don't rant about short staff stores and supply chain woes. Try to lower your expectations. So I thought, okay, let me lower my expectations here.
I just jumped to conclusions based on the headline, for the record. I immediately went to Twitter and was like, outrage.
That's what most people do these days, right? So I thought, let me take some advice from this headline and lower my expectations. I'm expecting this to be a very stupid article. I'm going to lower that expectation a little bit. I'm going to step away from that expectation, and maybe it's not. I'm getting into the article here, and let's read it. This is written by, I don't know how you pronounce the name, but Michelin Maynard is how I'm going to say it.
Michelin Maynard. Who knows?
Let's see. Across the country, Americans' expectations of speedy service and access to consumer products have been crushed like a styrofoam container in a trash compactor. Wow.
What a violent metaphor.
What a violent. Yeah, yeah. What an analogy that one is. Time for some new, more realistic expectations, guys. Let's not stick to the beautiful America that we've known. Let's change our expectations a little bit. Fast food is less fast. A huge flotilla? What? Of container ships is stuck offshore in California waiting to unload. Shelves normally stocked with Halloween candy this time of year are empty, as I saw the other day at a Target here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The issue has become troublesome, with alarming economic and political ramifications, that the White House is stepping in, urging unions, post operators, and big consumer good companies to work around the clock if they aren't already to unclog supply pipelines. American consumers, their expectations pampered and catered to for decades, are not accustomed to inconvenience. Yeah, let's blame the Americans. Let's blame Americans for their expectation of how our supply chains are meant to work.
Yeah, their expectations should really be on par with those of Cubans and the Chinese, who have plenty of problems but are used to them. They're used to only having like a pound of meat available to them once a month that they have to pay up the wazoo for. And they're used to having empty grocery shelves and not having access to basic goods and basic needs. So just Americans, just lower your expectations to those of countries that have been ravaged by socialism and communism. And then you will have an appropriate perspective for life in America today.
Right. You'll feel so much better about the world that we're living in. She goes on to write, customers, persistent whine. Why don't they just hire more people? Sounds feeble in this era of the great resignation, especially in industries such as food service, with reputation for being tough places to work. This is excuse after excuse after excuse, and it's like gaslighting. I'm being gaslit by this article.
It's not because we've been handing out money to people without restraint for the last year and a half in the name of the emergency. And it's not that people are going on strike when being faced with tyrannical mandates rather than complying that they're standing up for their freedom and refusing to work. It's that our expectations are wrong and we just shouldn't expect this to happen. They're glossing over the actual causes of these supply chain issues,
right,
and skipping straight to the problem is you and your entitlement, normal American person with common sense.
Yeah, and I want to get into the advice segment of this article of what we should do to respond to this current supply chain crisis that is happening right now, and it is a supply chain crisis. We are walking into stores that are on shelf with products that they normally have. We don't have access to the same resources that we did in America. This is a problem. This is not normal, and it is a sign of the degradation of our society and of our economy. So they go on to write, rather than living constantly on the verge of throwing a fit and risking taking it out on overwhelmed servers, struggling shop owners, or late arriving delivery people, we do ourselves a favor by consciously lowering expectations. First of all, if you're upset about what's going on right now, the last person you should be blaming are the servers, the shop owners, and the delivery people who are choosing to work at this moment in time.
Totally.
The people that you should have a problem with are our bureaucrats and our elites, the people who are perpetuating this problem, and the people who refuse to work here in this country. She goes on to write, I don't know where you live, but in Ann Arbor, the luxury of blithely tapping on a phone and summoning a restaurant delivery that arrives in 45 minutes is over. There's a shortage of food delivery drivers nationwide. The sanity-preserving move is to assume an hour and a half for delivery, and then a mere hour and 10 minutes is a pleasant surprise. I understand people are getting frustrated, but it's time for people to take a chill pill, says Lisa McDonald, owner of Tea House in Ann Arbor. Shop selling tea and gifts. I'm not going to have the thing that I usually have. Maybe they aren't going to have the purple mug, but the blue one is pretty too. Wow.
But I wanted the purple one, and this is America,
yeah.
So give me the purple.
Maybe I wanted the shelves stocked with baby formula or with Halloween candy for my kids, but the empty shelf is good too. See, it's you see how those two things are not synonymous? You see how you can't just swap out those two explanations of what's going on? And again, this is gaslighting. This is telling you America's not the same. We're worse off. Our economy is not doing great right now. Our supply chain is crumbling, but you should be fine with it. Your expectations.
Or even worse, you're the problem.
Right, you're the problem.
Yeah, us destroying supply chains and us disincentivizing people from working and creating employment crisis and staffing crises around the country by imposing these tyrannical vax mandates, those are not the problem. It's you're the problem for expecting there to be food on the shelves at your grocery store. You're the problem, America.
That's amazing. It's like you get cheated on and the guy's like, well, it's your fault.
I know. We were thinking before the show of all the like absurd ways, like you can just expect the most basic things from the world. And the problem's not with your boyfriend cheating on you. The problem is you had the wrong expectations of fidelity.
Right, right. So just guys, just alter your expectations again. Like Taylor said, look more towards Cuba, Venezuela, China, North Korea, and then what we actually get in America will be wondrous. It'll be rainbows and butterflies. You're going to be so happy.
Yeah, if you're in North Korea, like starving and looking, scrounging for bugs, then yeah, you've got pretty low expectations. But this isn't North Korea yet.
Right, and remember, always blame the victim. Anyways, moving on. So let's talk about stores that give us supplies. Walmart is one of those stores. We have a breaking story on Walmart released by the one and only, our beloved Christopher F. Rufo, our resident CRT expert. Today in City Journal, an article was put out called Walmart versus Whiteness. The company's new training program tells hourly employees that they are guilty of internalized racial superiority. So Walmart Incorporated, this massive corporation, has been the newest to join the other corporations that have been pushing critical race theory training. And it's the same tune that we've sung 100 times on this show. Although there's particular language in the Walmart critical race theory training that I think is unique to what we're seeing here. I'm sure we're going to get more corporations that are coming out with this same sort of curriculum. Now, Walmart so far has only trained a little over 1,000 employees in this program. So if you are a Walmart employee, I got a lot of Walmart employees commenting, well, I work at Walmart and I haven't seen this yet. I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure it's around the bend. Now, the Walmart program, as City Journal stipulates and Chris Rufo stipulates, the program begins with the claim that the United States is a white supremacy system designed by white Europeans for the purpose of assigning and maintaining white skin access to privilege and power.
I feel like I've seen this movie before.
Right.
Have we done this before?
Is this just a rerun?
Is this a deja vu?
Right. Are you just rerunning the same old episodes of that 90s sitcom that I used to watch when I was a kid? Because this is what it feels like. Except there's no laugh track. I'm not laughing. I'm internally crying.
No. And like, again, if you're an employee and you haven't seen this stuff yet, that's no cause for you to lack concern in any way, because your bosses are probably seeing this is probably happening at the corporate level,
right?
And trust me, it's coming. Or the ideas themselves are in the minds of your managers and being planted in there.
Yeah, they're Walmart's billionaire white CEO is pushing anti-whiteness within his corporation. Just brilliant. It is mind-bogglingly brilliant to do this. Moving on, another paragraph here. Following the principle that diagnosis determines treatment, the Walmart program seeks to create a psychological profile of whiteness that can then be treated with white anti-racist development. Now, what does that remind you of? Diagnosing people based on their race, based on the way that they look, based on their skin color. What does that sound like to you? And then subsequently prescribing treatment for them. The treatment in this case being white anti-racist development. Does that ring any bells for you, Taylor?
Yes, it rings a very evil bell from the 1940s and the 1930s in Germany.
Yeah, and nearly every single genocide or human atrocity that has ever taken place rings a bell to me, diagnosing people with their whiteness and calling them unclean or unsavory or racist, and then saying that they need to be re-educated, which is essentially what Walmart is purporting with its employees. Now you have to go through a white anti-racist development training. Whites, according to the trainers, are inherently guilty of white privilege and internalized racial superiority. The belief that one's comfort, wealth, privilege, and success has been earned by merits and hard work rather than through the benefits of systemic racism. Walmart's program argues that this oppressive white supremacy culture can be summarized in a list of qualities including individualism, objectivity, paternalism, defensiveness, power hoarding, right to comfort, and worship of the written word, which all promote white supremacist thinking and are damaging to both people of color and to white people. Oh, wow. Worship of the written word. That's an interesting one.
We've seen this. Remember the Smithsonian Museum had a list of whiteness.
Right.
I mean, this is critical race theory.
It is
all these race essentialist ideas. It's these we call it reverse racism, but mm-hmm. we say it's actually just racism because it is. But we've seen this in the Smithsonian Institute. They had a list of whiteness, and there was things like critical thinking right. or being on time right. or things like that are somehow indicative of this idea that they have, which is their giant boogeyman called capital W whiteness. Mm-hmm. And that is the source of all tyranny and evil and terrible things in the world. And only people who have been awakened to that evil and fight against it and try to dismantle the patriarchy and dismantle whiteness are really doing anything of substance and of value in the world today. Mm-hmm. And we have a new video this week called ESGs, which stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And it's basically this new rubric put out by woke people to evaluate companies on how they're doing. Are you doing enough for environmentalism? Are you doing enough for social justice? Are you doing enough for all these woke causes? And now companies know that they can get away with less profits and being less of a focus on being profitable by pandering to these woke movements and woke people who evaluate them on the basis of their ESGs, because they can get special benefits from the government or like advancements in capital, but just based on having a good ESG score. And this is what's happening now. It's like it's no longer about providing you basic goods and services or doing their job as a company. It's about how woke can they be and how much can they infuse that into everything that they do.
Yeah, amazing point. And that's why you're seeing this. It's no riddle as to why all these companies and corporations are doing this. This is a nationwide effort. We've covered Disney. We've covered Coca-Cola. Express. We've covered American Express.
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, Coca-Cola. We've covered Raytheon. This is company after company, corporation after corporation, and they're all linked together. They are all working in tandem with each other to do this. And it is those ESGs that Taylor's talking about. And it's also the fact that they no longer care about the lowly peasants who provided them the profit and the capital to get where they are today. Now, I did a deep dive into this because I was interested. I know that Walmart's capital is largely gained from the white consumer. I looked into it, and it's actually to the tune of 74%. 74% of Walmart's consumers are white. So why would Walmart be releasing a training that is anti-whiteness? Why would they be doing that? And it's because, like Taylor said, they don't care about getting profit from you anymore. They don't care about you as a consumer. Not only are they getting these funding from the government and these enhancements from the government and deregulated by the government, they are also working with other corporations. Walmart is heavily working in tandem with BlackRock, also with Pfizer. It's no surprise that all of this is happening. And all three of these corporations work with the government and lobby the government. And where they give the government money, the government backs off on the regulations on these companies. So this is all just one big circus, and they're all working together to put on this show for you guys. And an amazing thing to think about here is that the left and the right could be congruent on this. If the left and the right woke up and realized that truly the battle is not between us, like they're trying to perpetuate that it is truly between us and the corporations that are working with our government. And people don't get that yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I think the leftists tend to jump to the conclusion that the problem is capitalism itself, but really the problem is cronyism, mm-hmm. and it's the problem is completely unfettered, unregulated people who are violating ethical standards and violating the spirit of the Constitution. And so where sensible regulations are appropriate that would dismantle corporatism and dismantle some of this cronyism, then yeah, I think we can totally agree on that. And I wish that yep. would be the focus, but it's so hard for people on the left I think it's hard for people on the right to see this issue, and it's hard for people on the left, they see it, but then they just jump right over to, well, we should just institute socialism or communism instead and make everything under state control so that's where we can get rid of the cronyism. And it's like, that's not a better solution. You're just going to end up with an oligarchy of socialist leaders who, you know, are claiming to be doing good for the people but really hoarding all wealth for themselves.
Right.
Anyway.
The underbelly of all this is the U.S. government, and to think that you're going to solve the crony capitalism, which they just think is normal capitalism. No, it's crony capitalism. To think that you're going to solve that by giving more power to the government and giving the government all your resources is false. They're the ones who are around what's happening right now. They're the ones perpetuating what's happening right now. Don't even want to get into how China is involved in this and how they work with our corporations. But there is a much deeper problem around all of this. It's not just CRT being pushed at Walmart. It is a larger globalist agenda with these corporations. But yeah, that's what's new out of Walmart. And these trainings, These trainings to combat racism are going to be conducted with affinity groups, meaning that you are separated by the color of your skin and by your ethnicity.
Segregation for progress.
Segregation for ending racism.
Diversity. Many skin colors, one opinion.
Exactly. It's beautiful. But Black Lives Matter and F the police and yeah.
I'm seeing a commenter here saying, what I'm seeing here is typical white fragility and white supremacist apologist propaganda running a self-soothing propaganda campaign. Any thoughts? Amala, check your white supremacy.
Yeah,
okay?
What color is my skin again? Can somebody in the comments let me know? Because maybe I'm confused. Maybe I'm blind. What color is my skin? So where's the fragility there? And where's the white supremacy?
And we're not defending, for us first, we're rejecting the idea of whiteness itself. We're not defending anything to do with whiteness. We're standing for common sense.
Right.
And you're the one who's trying to impose, you're showing your fragility by the fact that we're poking holes in your ideology and exposing it for the idiot racist stuff that it is. And that's the fragility, is you can't handle that. It can't handle the heat, and it can't stand up to, like, it's the same thing that we saw the other day when Sanjay Gupta went on Rogan's show, and as soon as he left his leftist echo chamber at CNN, Joe was able to poke so many holes in the ideology he's pushing. And
yep.
You people are showing the fragility that you have around your closed off ideology.
Victimhood fragility.
Yeah.
That's maybe that's the book that comes out next. Maybe that's my theory book, is victimhood fragility, because that's so true. And then you see a Black person who says, no, you're wrong. There's no such thing as white privilege, at least not in the sense that it's unanimous for all white people. And there's no such thing as this whole white fragility complex that you're pushing, and suddenly I'm not Black anymore. Oops. My Black card it's revoked. Take it. It's just amazing to me.
I mean, we did just hire you because of your white privilege. So
right, right.
You were in a reverse affirmative action hire, because that's our standards here at PragerU, apparently.
Extremely privileged. Extremely, yeah. The Black face of white supremacy. Me and Larry Elder. Me and Larry Elder chilling. Now, speaking of conservative commentators that get their race cards pulled all the time, Dan Bongino is coming out. It's time for people to stand together against these outrageous vaccine mandates. Now, he's put out a whole episode about this. You can go and watch it. But Dan Bongino, the successor of Rush Limbaugh, is now coming out against his company where he runs his radio show and saying, you either choose me or you choose a mandate. They are trying to push vaccine mandates among their employees at this radio station, and Dan Bongino is refusing to go along with that. I'm quite sure he's the biggest grossing show that they have at this station, so I'm interested to see what happens here, but he's taking a stand against it. He's actually walking like he talks, which is a very cool thing to see, and we're seeing more of that, more and more of that every day.
Yeah, I mean, I watched a few minutes of his announcement. It was really good. He's just like, I'm not just going to be someone up here who is vocal about opposing these mandates. He's literally putting his show on the line and his livelihood on the line to stand up for what he believes in. And we'll see later. I just saw a cool viral video of a firefighter who's doing the same. And, the tide is starting to turn. We're getting into this in a moment, but the Southwest just reneged on their mandate requirements and their threat to put employees who refuse the vax on leave, and people standing up for what they believe in can make a difference. And that's what we believe in here at PragerU, and that's what you should do.
Yeah, it's, don't get complacent, and also don't feel hopeless in these times. I mean, we always have those silver linings that prove themselves, and we have great stories that are coming out every day surrounding this, albeit there are a lot of bad ones, but you have power. You have stay in this society, and there are people that are beholden to you and to your wants and your needs. And if you are able to organize, or if you have some sort of power that allows you to do it individually, just like Dan Bongino has, you should do it. There is no reason for us to sit here like little puppies getting kicked over and over by some bully. There's no reason. We do have power. We do have the ability to make sure that these companies and corporations are not able to run without our consumption or without our work. And we've proven that that is the case. We had two teachers, a teacher and a parent on the show yesterday talking about vaccine mandates and how they're organizing against them. And this is not just an issue for LA. It's going to be an issue that happens almost nationwide. Of course, we have our safe haven states where it's not happening. But the best thing that you can do is organize and bring legal action. That's what we all should be doing, regardless of where you are. There are people that you should be fighting for. I don't care if you're in Florida or Texas or Nashville. There's people who still need that fight.
Yes, your voice is important. They want you to believe that you're up against too big of an enemy and that your voice doesn't matter. They want you to feel hopeless. They want you to feel intimidated. They want you to just feel like helpless to what the surge that you're seeing. And they dominate the airwaves. They dominate Hollywood. They dominate the media. But you don't have to. You don't have to fall victim to that narrative, and you don't have to, you know, the left wants you to see yourself as a victim. They love victimhood, and they're trying to brainwash you into thinking that there's nothing you can do, but, you know, your freedom is just a helpless victim, and you just have to watch them take it, and there's nothing you can do, but there is something you can do. You can stand up, you can speak out, you can get organized, you can pursue legal action. There's, you know, this country was founded on people who rejected tyranny and rejected the idea of sitting back and letting the government do whatever they want to them. So go find a box of tea and throw it in the bay.
Yep, exactly right. Exactly, which leads us to our Southwest story. Here's the headline out of CNBC. Southwest drops plan to put unvaccinated staff on unpaid leave starting in December. Southwest scrapped a plan to put the unvaccinated workers with pending exemptions on unpaid leave after the December 8th deadline. Both American and Southwest require their new hire employees to show a proof of COVID-19 vaccination. I'm hoping that will soon change. They have to do that before their first day. But large airlines and federal contractors are subject to a current administration order that requires their employees to be vaccinated or receive an exemption for medical religious reasons. Now, Southwest bore the brunt of making this decision. As we all saw a week and a half ago, 1,800 flights were canceled.
Yeah, the weather really didn't like that mandate.
Right, right.
So, apparently, it's just the weather, guys. Yeah. No one did a sick out. No one stayed home from work in protest. It was just crazy weather that only affected Southwest and no other airline.
Right. Zeus just heard it from above and started throwing lightning bolts at Southwest airplanes, and they didn't know what to do with themselves. Yeah, Southwest cancels 1,800 flights, comes out and blames the weather, even though no other airline was having this trouble. And we know it's because these employees were refusing to come to work, which is what you should do. If this is happening at a place where you work, organize. I can't tell you how important that is. The left is so great at organizing. They've cornered the market of grassroots organizing for the most part. That is not something that you should let them corner. You should do the exact same. And now Southwest is taking back this plan. Southwest Airlines has scrapped a plan to put the unvaccinated employees on unpaid leave, but haven't received a religious or medical exemption on unpaid leave starting by the federal deadline in December. Southwest and American Airlines are among the carriers that federal contractors and subject to this administration's requirement that employees be vaccinated against COVID-19 by December 8th, unless they are exempt for a medical or religious reason. Here's another thing too. There are companies that are putting out religious and medical exemptions. If you guys are struggling at your job with vaccine mandates, there is a website called For United Solutions. Again, that's For United Solutions, an organization working out here in California that is working for first responders, teachers, anything you can think of. They are trying to get you guys religious exemptions. So that's one way that you can try to get out of this.
Yeah, it is a useful tool in your individual situations and a useful tool for fighting back and working around some of this madness. But I'm kind of mad that it has to exist in the first place. Mm-hmm. Like, I shouldn't need a religious exemption to exercise my freedom, you know, but here we are. So use that as a tactic as you in the fight for freedom if you need to.
Yeah. Don't let Southwest be the first and last corporation to go through this. Let's keep doing this. Let's do this until we get these mandates pulled.
Yeah, the fact that they reversed this decision is evidence that they're listening. I mean, they came out with a statement the other day that was their corporate statement that was like, well, we have to follow the mandates and we're doing this because, you know, this is who we're beholden to. And then next thing you know, CEO comes out a few days later and is like, basically walking back that commitment and saying, well, we're not going to enforce it on our people. So what happened? They're wavering, they're flip-flopping, and that means that your voice does make a difference and that people standing up and doing something about it does make a difference. So raise hell until, you know, for your freedom.
Right. I wanted to talk about, before we get into our next story, something that I'm going to be talking about on Thursday. I'm doing a speech at Winona State University. If you guys are in Minnesota, anywhere near Winona, you should come and see me. I can put the ticket registration down below in the description for you guys. The tickets are free to come and see me. We do have several slots left. So I'll be in Winona State University on Thursday night talking about my journey and the fight for freedom that we have going right now. The speech in particular is about how traditional values are the new rebellion. And I'm going to talk about a video that we have gone over on this show before, and a warning from a man by the name of Yuri Bezmenov, a KGB defector. He goes through the different steps that ideological subversion happen in a country. And I'm going to give a little spark note version of that right now, because it points to where our fight is right now, where we are lying in the fight between the true America that we should be living in, the America built on the foundation of this country, the founding of this country, and the traditions of this country, and the ideologically subverted country that is trying to be created right now. Now, he goes over the steps through which this happens. Step one is demoralization. Demoralize, demoralize, demoralize. Everybody should lack all hope, not only in themselves, but in the current systems as they stand in this country. And we've already started that. That started in the 1960s, takes about 25 years. Boom, done. Done around in the late 1980s. So we've demoralized white people by telling them they have privilege and no place in these conversations. We've demoralized black people by telling them they are victims. We've done the same with Hispanics. We've done the same with Asians by simply just ignoring any struggles that Asian Americans go through in this country. We've demoralized men by telling them that their masculinity is toxic. We've demoralized women by saying that they live in an oppressive patriarchy and that they cannot be helped and they cannot be successful, and that they have to fight for every inch of what they get in this country. All of these narratives are false, but the demoralization process is done, and we've already gone through it. Then we destabilize. We destabilize the economy. We destabilize with foreign affairs. We've done so with China. We've done so in Afghanistan. We're ignoring all of the foreign issues that are happening right now. Look at our supply chain, and that's attachment to our economy. Destabilization has taken place. After that, you have crisis. Well, we've gone through our crisis, the COVID-19 crisis that we've been going through for the past 2 years. To no avail, to no success on our part, and we are continually being regulated, locked down, mandated, being told what we can and cannot do with our God-given liberty and our God-given freedom. So the crisis stage has already happened. Now, the final stage of all of this taking place in America, ideological subversion being complete and being successful, is normalization. Is now the elites, the bureaucrats, and everybody around the world just accepting that this is the new normal in America. Just like that article that we read out of the Washington Post, lower your expectations. It's your fault. Let me gaslight you. Let me blame you as the victim. Do not let the normalization happen. And Dan Bongino's not letting that happen at his radio station. He says, you pick me or you pick the mandate. We're not letting that happen with Southwest. Teachers are not letting it happen. They are, and parents are not letting it happen. They're showing up to school boards and fighting back against this ideology. The last step is normalizing what's happening right now. You should refuse to accept this is normal.
Yeah. Give me liberty or give me death. If you're waiting for a hill to die on, this is it. It is now time to stand up for your freedom. You cannot allow the normalization of the people depriving you of freedom and taking it away, because once you give that up, you never get it back.
Yep.
And if you were waiting for a time to stand up, if you're waiting for a time to get, we need every American to really get off their butt and fight this stuff, because this is the last chance.
It is.
You know, we almost just went through all the stages that Bezmenov predicted in the 80s, and they started in the 60s. And I think things are, you can feel it. Things are culminating now. They have the crisis. They have the opportunity. You know, who was it that said, it was like an old government official who said that you never waste a good crisis or something.
Right.
And I don't remember who it was. Yeah. And there's a reason why this crisis is being prolonged. You know, like, we have a better grasp on the pandemic than ever before. We have a good sense that it's going to be something that's endemic. And yet the lockdowns are harder than ever before. The mandates are coming in, new mandates coming in 2 years into this. Did anyone ever think, you know, I remember back in February, March 2020, we were like, They were saying, oh, well, maybe by Easter we'll have it back. And everyone was like, are you kidding me? Easter? Like, right. Do you remember what your own perspective was like, what your own life was like 2 years ago? Do you remember what the world was like 2 years ago? It is completely and utterly transformed, and we have to not allow it to become normal, because the normalization is the final step, and it's a final nail in the coffin to your freedom.
Yeah, and we have like you said, we've been letting it become normal. Read through an email today because they're talking about vaccine versus unvaccinated, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. 40% of the deaths that are happening in Maryland right now are happening with fully vaccinated people. That's an interesting fact. You can look into that. But look at how we have lowered our expectations and how they've really done a great job at playing psychological warfare on the American people and making us change what we expected from this pandemic. At first, it was 2 weeks to slow the spread. Then it was, oh, more than 2 weeks, stay in your house. Then it was, get out of your house, but wear a mask. And when you get out of your house and wear a mask, maybe make that too. Oh, wait, we've got a vaccine. Take that vaccine, definitely. Also, we're not liable for anything that happens to you with this vaccine, but still take it. Nope, now we need a booster shot. Oh, in Israel, you have 4 booster shots. Oh, in America, it's not quite working, so let's mix them together.
Yeah, let's just have a vax cocktail.
Let's just mix them together now. So the FDA is working on that currently. We've efficiently gone up the complacency ladder when it comes to everything that's happening right now in this pandemic, and it hasn't stopped. And I don't see it stopping in any near future.
There's a recurring theme in this episode, and it is stand up, say something, do something, get organized. Now's the time, but it's encouraging to see that it is effective, and there are battles to be won when you use your voice. And, just have faith. Don't become hopeless. That's where they want you to be.
That is very true. Now, one more story here before we get into TikTok Tuesday. This is a story. We're back to DC Comics. Here's the article, Variety. Superman changes motto to Truth, Justice, and a Better Tomorrow, says DC Chief. This is written by Adam B. Vary. Now, we covered Superman before, I believe last week, because Superman and DC had come out with a new comic book where Superman is a bisexual climate activist.
Yeah, it's like the son of Superman or something, but yeah, his new
right.
His new mandate is not, you know, the pursuit of truth and justice in the American way. It's climate change and fighting for diversity and woke causes
and open borders and all that fun stuff. That is the new Superman. The American icon that is Superman has been morphed into a bisexual leftist activist.
But see, that was just a comic book. Mm-hmm. Like they were just allowing a different writer to give a different interpretation of what this is. This new story is that DC Comics, the brand that owns the intellectual property of Superman, is actually changing the motto from Truth, Justice, and the American Way, which has been the motto since the 50s or, you know, whenever Superman started.
Yep.
To what is the new motto? It's like Truth, Justice, and
a better tomorrow. So there's been several different iterations of the Superman motto, but this has been the withstanding one. It was Truth, Justice, and the American Way. The article writes, Superman is officially moving on from the American Way. Jim Lee, chief creative officer and publisher of DC, announced on Saturday during the virtual fan event, DC Fandom, that the Man of Steel's motto will be evolving from the well-known mantra that he fights for truth, justice, and the American Way. Superman's new statement is Truth, Justice, and a Better Tomorrow. Now, essentially what he's gone on to say, Jim Lee, is that the statement "the American way" no longer reflects the storylines that we're trying to put forth in the DC universe and with a Superman. He also goes on to write that the American way as a statement is not favorable in relation to Superman anymore.
They're trying to erase America, the idea of America as something aspirational, of something beautiful, of something that is unlike anything else that ever existed in history. The idea of liberty, the idea of liberty and justice for all. They're trying to say that that is not something to aspire to anymore. We don't need a hero who embodies those ideals. We need a generic hero for the world who just has this ambiguous call toward a better future, toward progress. What is that progress? Well, it doesn't have any definition. It's whatever we decide it to be, and whatever woke causes of the day that we want to support or push. It's just this vague, you know, every dictator in history put forward this idea of a utopia, a better tomorrow, a better future for our country, for our people. Mm-hmm. And by reducing Superman, by decoupling the ideals of Superman from American ideals, which are exceptional, which are transcendent, which are great, you're making it into just a generic hero that only pursues quote unquote progress that can be defined by anyone. So it basically takes the magic and what is special out of Superman. Superman is an American hero. It's an American icon. And you're making him an instrument of just bland, boring power and progress. And that actually is the kryptonite that takes away what makes Superman powerful and special in the first place. So great job, DC, for ruining Superman. Yep. We all saw it coming because every company is going woke these days. But hey, at least this will help your ESG score.
Exactly. And the A Better Tomorrow is very reminiscent of Build Back Better. I'm sure you guys heard that statement, and you know that has Marxist leanings to it. Just like Taylor said, every single regime that has taken over people's freedom and killed millions has talked about building back better and building a better tomorrow, as he said. That is what we're seeing here. It runs on the assumption that America is a white supremacist nation that has no regard for its citizens. And if you run on that assumption, the only solution to that is to destroy the institutions and the systems that built America. And that's what they want. And this is what your children are going to be exposed to. It's not going to be the American way anymore. It's going to be a better tomorrow. Today's not good enough. America's not good enough. A better tomorrow. And you should always be focusing on the improvement of your country. And that's how the linguistics and the semantics of this are so powerful. They're so ingenious, because who could possibly be against a better tomorrow? Who would not want to make the world better? That's what the left is really good at. It's semantics.
Yeah. I mean, this Superman is going to be the model comrade for the new regime. Everyone can just aspire to be as committed to the cause of our better tomorrow as Superman is. And we can all follow in his footsteps toward social justice and climate activism and whatever woke causes that the new elites and the people controlling the country, if we allow them to, are going to decide. And he's just going to be they're going to turn him into a piece of propaganda rather than a symbol of liberty that he has been. And that's a tragedy.
Yeah, it's really pull back and look at all the stories that we talked about today and see how they're all intertwined. We did a story on government and the supply chain and lowering your expectations. We've done a story on entertainment with Superman and how that's now entrenched in leftist ideology. We've done a story with Walmart and how corporate America is linked to the government, which is linked to entertainment, which is pushing out critical race theory. And we've done a story on Southwest, which is transportation, a fundamental part of our infrastructure in this country, linked to leftist ideology, which is linked to the government. And they all work in tandem to push this massive agenda on us and to divide and conquer. Meanwhile, every single thing that we've talked about today, they're all profiting off of this.
I feel like Amla, this episode is like holding our eyes open. Can you see, people?
Can you please see the link between all these things? I'm begging you. Look at the link between all of this. And when you do, oh my gosh, you can't run away from it. It's like once in The Wizard of Oz, when you see the man behind the curtain and you see how this is all linked together, you can't unsee it.
Yeah.
You really can't.
Yeah.
You really can't. Now that I've given you that bleak outlook on American society today, although it's not bleak because we can do something about it. And we talked about
like
stories.
Like I said, it's a mixed bag. You can't offer real hope until you are willing to face how the gravity and the seriousness of the problem. Until you're willing to look that head on, then just saying like, oh, everything's going to be okay is meaningless. But whenever you expose the works of darkness and the works of evil, to put it in biblical terms, then you can actually have a serious path toward how to confront it and fight it. And that's why you should have hope, because you can have a serious way to fight it. And you know that, hey, there is hope, because people who are seeing these things and seeing through the curtain that they're trying to put over our eyes are rising up and are standing for freedom and are standing for truth. And when they do, the other side is having to relent. And that is cause for hope. We don't want to just come here and say, well, just huddle in your little bubble of people who agree with you and we'll all be okay. If, you know, that bubble keeps getting smaller and smaller as the world keeps pushing its stuff. So at some point you have to stop waiting for either it all to pass over, because it's not. And you have to get your head out of the sand and go out and confront it. But the good news is the truth is on our side. And
there's no such thing as healthy.
Oh. I always do that.
I know. You never have the TikTok muted when it starts playing. But that's okay. We can get into TikTok Tuesday, but have hope because the truth is on our side, and it's worth fighting for, as Samwise Gamgee would say, which you don't get that reference.
But I know it's Lord of the Rings, so I'll take it. Now, we're going to get into TikTok Tuesday. Taylor and I have compiled some TikToks for you guys to look at, maybe enjoy.
I feel like today's a mixed bag. There might be some funny ones, heartwarming, and then ones that will crush your soul.
Yes. So. Let's start with the one that'll crush your soul.
You get it all here on Will and Amble Live.
Yes, you do. We take you on an emotional roller coaster, and hopefully by the end of it, you go, that was worth watching, or that was worth listening to. Our first TikTok of the day is talking about the feminist movement and the transgender movement and the intersectionality, as the left would say, between those two. But this is just a young girl talking about what she's realized. Here we go.
There's no such thing as healthy masculinity in feminism, and that's kind of transphobic. So I was at this party where there were mostly trans women, a couple of cis men, a trans man, and me. So one of the girls there, radical feminist, you'd think that Tumblr died and reincarnated as her, she says that she hates all cis white men, blah, blah, blah. And so the one trans man, my closest homie there, he goes, what about me? And she goes, no, it's different. You're not like them. And he's like, why not? There's no difference between me and a cis man. So why not? And I'm like, and she's like, you've lived the female experience, so you kind of have a better idea than most cis men would. He goes, no, my experiences have never been female. They've just been experienced by other people as female. Explain yourselves. Y'all looking problematic. There's no such thing.
Oh. This is just a massive cell phone, really?
I'm completely lost. I hope you can unpack this for me because I missed something halfway through this and I'm just like, what is she even talking?
Let's go through this. Yeah, let's do it in layman's terms here and not leftist terms. So this is a young transgender person, okay? They're at a party with cisgendered women, which is no such thing. It just means a woman. They're with a party with biological women. They're at this party with biological women and a transgender man. So a female that identifies as male is at this party. And one of these biological women says, I hate all cisgender men or all cisgender, you know, the stuff that radical feminists say. So this transgender man or a woman who identifies as male is there and saying, well, what about me? I'm a man. You're a woman. But yes, I'm a man. And she goes, well, it doesn't apply to you when I say that I hate cisgender men because you live the female experience. To that, the trans man says, I haven't lived the female experience. I've been a man this entire time. I've been a man my entire life. How dare you say that you hate cisgender men when I'm a man?
Oh, God. Wait, doesn't cis mean you're
cis
not
means
trans?
Biologically. Yeah. But now the trans people are trying to usurp that and say that we're just men and we've always been men. Oh, you see, the reason that this argument is even coming up is because your identity is illogical. It's illogical to even assume that by any means that you are a biological man or that you were born a man. It does not make sense, which is why when these two ideologies, the radical feminist ideology and the transgender ideology, which are meant to support each other, when they actually confront each other, the ideologies do not hold up, as is the case with most leftist ideology. If you put them side by side, they don't hold up. Radical tolerance with leftism, when confronted with, I don't know, radical Islam or fundamental Islam, they don't hold up. Yet we're meant to be totally tolerant of Muslim people and their religion and the religion of Islam. Yet when those two ideologies, which are both leftist ideologies, meet each other and come to a confrontation, they X each other out. That's exactly what we're watching take fold in this very, very confusing TikTok. The only reason I understand it is because I was a leftist.
No, I appreciate you translating that for me because I was lost. Now, I will say the late Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias had this formulation that he used to say that the test for any worldview, there are two tests. It's one, correspondence, and two, coherence. And correspondence means, does your worldview, if it's correct, then it will correspond to reality. What you predict will happen according to your worldview will happen in reality, and it will map properly onto reality. And then coherence is, it'll be internally consistent. It will not contradict itself. Well, look at what's happening with this new postmodern woke ideology. It is so full of self-contradictions, and it is so far from simply mapping on. They can't even define what a woman is.
Right.
And so when you distort reality and have this confusing self-defeating ideology, it there's no correspondence to it and there's no coherence to it. And so it fails both tests of a worldview that can function. And you see this over and over again, and that's why I feel bad, because this is the worldview that is being preached to our youth in our schools, and it's what's being preached to your generation and younger. And it's a tragedy, because they're being handed a worldview that doesn't work. And that's why depression rates are through the roof, suicide rates are through the roof, because they're being taught to view the world that does not correspond to reality. And they're being given a worldview that is self contradictory on an every imaginable level. And of course, your inner world is going to be complete chaos, mm-hmm. and you are going to be desperate for validation and desperate for someone to affirm your identity and desperate right. to affirm that you're okay as a person, because you have no firm ground on which to stand. You're not able to anchor your worldview in anything of depth or substance, and you see firsthand the failures of it over and over again on a daily basis. And yet, rather than confront the failure of your ideology and dispense with it and come back to reality, you have a society that is pandering and affirming your delusions rather than pulling you back in. And that is such a tragedy and really an evil that we're allowing to persist in the world today, and it needs to stop.
Yeah, and she ends her video on something that is profound, and she doesn't realize that it's profound. She goes, "So you feminists are going to have to explain yourself, because y'all are sounding problematic. And if that is not the perfect example of leftism, I don't know what is." And remember that if you're listening right now and you're a leftist, or you subscribe to leftist ideology, you're the victim for now. You remember when women were the victims for leftists, when they were the ones who needed to be protected from patriarchy? Now this woman is making a video calling radical feminists, who are just biological women, calling them problematic. So you are the victim for now. You are the victim for as long as that currency holds value. And right now, the feminist movement holds no value for the political left. So it doesn't matter that you're a cisgender woman, or a biological woman anymore. You're getting pushed to the wayside, because now we have this new movement of transgenderism. Those are the victims. Those are the victims right now. And if you're not uplifting those victims at the behest of the actual feminist movement that is meant to be protecting women, you're out. You're out. And that's the problem with leftism. It doesn't hold water. Conservatism has held water, because we are conserving what has always been true to America, right. What has always been here. The leftist movement is an ever-evolving movement that gets to change through the whims of whatever reality people choose to accept for that day. And if you don't subscribe to that reality, you are out. So that's what's happening to feminists right now. Because what? Now transgender people can be in female sports. Now we have to validate them as women, or as men, or as whatever they identify as. Now men get to say that they have our womanhood. And if we don't accept that, we're no longer part of the leftist movement, this ever-evolving thing.
Yeah, and I love the analogy that you made about currency.
Mm-hmm.
The currency, or the clout that you get by having woke points and by being a champion of the woke ideology, is equivalent to like the fiat currency. It is decoupled from anything of serious value, because it's decoupled from reality and truth. And so the more of that currency that you get, the currency was created out of nothing, ex mm-hmm. nihilo. And so it's not attached to anything of value. And so the more that you have of it, you think that you're feeling like you're accumulating something of worth, but in reality, once the whole system comes crashing down, you'll be left with absolutely nothing. And what are we seeing? Kids that are graduating with gender studies degrees can't get a job. Kids that go all in on this woke ideology we've seen so many of those memes of like, you know, pretty, beautiful, happy young girl goes mm-hmm. to university, comes out, and this angry, you know, purple-haired, and you know, nothing wrong with coloring your hair per se. Will right. would not agree, but but they come out angry and miserable and just depressed, and having a useless degree and having no future besides activism. And look, you're holding on to fiat currency. You're holding on to something that is not backed by the gold of truth or anything with wisdom that can actually give you a happy, successful, fulfilling life. And so cash out of all that. Go Michael Scott and declare bankruptcy on right. the woke stuff, and go find something that has true meaning and true value that actually works in the real world, and build your life on that, because Man. This other stuff is empty.
Yep. Can't sum it up any better than that. Here's our next TikTok. Only four people, including me, stood up. Let's see what happens here.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May be seated. Have a
Yeah. Wow.
That's a gut punch.
That is a gut punch. That Isn't is that rough. Brutal.
That would never happen. Look, I went to elementary school in the 90s and, like, you know, high school, early 2000s. That would never happen, even in my lifetime.
I went in the early 2000s. That wouldn't have happened. That would not have happened. And this is, it shows you how fast society can degrade in a matter of years, just a handful of years. This has not been a long time that this has been such a pervasive problem. Only four people in this class stood up and said the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah. And but what are they being shown on in Hollywood? Everyone they look up to, all they do is denigrate America. What's probably in their curriculum is all this woke stuff that is anti-American. It's rewritten history that America is this racist place that started in 1619 with slavery and was founded on slavery. And it's full of systemic racism. Yeah. Why would you support this country? Right. Why wouldn't you be sitting down and on your phone thinking how dumb it is with these dumb people who are standing for the pledge? It goes back to what we're talking about with the how what they're trying to do with Superman and saying he no longer stands for the American way. That there's nothing aspirational or good or unique or powerful about America, what it stands for, the ideals it was founded on. Mm-hmm. All that is old stuff that we can just let go and needs to be burned down. And what really matters is a better future, the new tomorrow. And we need to get rid of all this old systemically racist system and burn all that down. Because surely, if I'm in power, I can make something much better than what took thousands of years to figure out. And that what every other society that was run by people who thought they knew better ended up in tyranny. But in America was the only one that escaped it. But, you know, I could do better than this.
It just hasn't been done right yet, Taylor. Just hasn't been done right.
Again,
just give me a chance,
reference.
Bro.
If I had the One Ring, I would really bring justice to the universe.
Just tap me in, coach. I promise. I'll be the one who does it. Too depressing. Here's the next one.
My name is Dylan Lindbergh. I was hired in January 2020. All I know as a career firefighter is this pandemic. I've cared for COVID patients, followed all the protocols and mandates, and to my knowledge, never once exposed anyone to this virus. Today, myself and thousands of other brave men and women are being forced to either comply with the mandate or face termination for standing in their beliefs. I'm choosing to stand in my belief. I believe in freedom. This is for everyone who's standing up for this and for everyone else who felt forced to comply. Vax or no vax, let us come together and rethink firing thousands of brave men and women.
Man, I want to get him on the show. I want to get him on the show. Aww. That is amazing. That's amazing. And you can see how emotional he is about this whole situation. He looks like he's on the verge of tears talking about what's happening to him. And I think that's what we forget in a lot of the arguments around this. We look at it as if we're just like moving pawns on a chessboard. These are actual real people. These are real lives. These are real families. These are real careers. These are real passions that we are alienating people out of. You are essentially cornering people out of the American dream right now in this country. That is what's happening. The foundation that this country has always run on of allowing people to come here, live here, be citizens here, and have a dream here and pursue that dream here is for naught now. It doesn't exist anymore because of these mandates and because of what you've done to people like this. This is a man. And again, I talked about this on the show yesterday. All of a sudden, we don't need firefighters. All of a sudden, we don't need nurses. All of a sudden, we don't need teachers. Though through the pandemic, they were the most vital people. You were cheering them on. The government was saying, our country would be nothing without these people. And now they are actively pushing legislation that is taking these people out of their jobs and ruining their livelihoods. How do you hold those two beliefs in your brain at the same time? You don't. That's how you know it's all farcical. That's how you know it's all political theater. That is all that this pandemic has been. And these are the people who are going to get hurt because of it.
Yeah, and these are our modern day heroes because they're the ones paying the price to stand up for freedom. You know, just like our soldiers in times past and in wars past standing up for freedom, these guys are paying with their lives and with their livelihoods to uphold and defend freedom and stand for what they believe in. And that is inspirational to me, you know. And it's not as cheap as, oh, look at this cool TikTok that we can, you know, parade around as a talking point and mm-hmm. say, see, you guys are forcing good people out of a job. It's deeper than that. It's like these guys are embodying what it is to stand for freedom mm-hmm. and really putting their money where their mouth is and really putting their livelihoods on the line for it. And there's nothing more commendable than that. So major props to this firefighter and the, what was it, 40% of Seattle police officers who are out of the job, and right. the dock workers, truckers, pilots, flight attendants, people who are standing up. You are the ones making a difference. And the teachers like we had in here yesterday, you know, it's scary, and it is a sober thing, because you are putting, there is a cost to be paid, but you know, the path toward meaning and the path toward true freedom is there's suffering on that path, and there's a price to be paid, and it's not, freedom isn't free. And so, you know, I commend those guys. And even like Dan Bongino was saying, like, talk is cheap, mm-hmm. but these people are really putting their lives on the line, and they're to be commended. So yeah, shout out to him.
It is convenient to give away your freedom. It is convenient to go with the herd. It is convenient to allow somebody else to rule your life. You don't have to do anything in that case. All you have to do is follow orders. It's inconvenient to step outside of that. It's inconvenient to realize that my life is not going to be the same if I make this choice. And this guy made that choice. And he's going to continue to do so. That's what we're doing out here in LA. We can't go. It's not as bad as him actually being fired from his job, which I'm imagining is going to happen after this.
Amala was kicked out of 3 bars this weekend, and not because she was drunk and belligerent.
I was not belligerent. I was just unvaccinated. And yeah, we're expecting mandates to be going into effect, what, November 6th? They're in effect now in a lot of places here in LA. Yeah, tried to go to a restaurant. Turned away. So
look, if that's the only price we have to pay for standing for freedom, then right. that's a small cost to pay relative to, you know, the soldiers in times past and stuff like that. And even this firefighter. So, you know, it gives us perspective here. And I'm sure in your fight, maybe it's saying something out loud to your, where, you know, when you're afraid of what coworkers might think or what people might think. But it's a small price to pay for freedom, especially when you look at the how much others have put on the line and how much they've sacrificed. So, yep. you know, it's worth it.
Exactly right. One last TikTok here, and this one's a funny one. So hopefully
Thank
you guys
God.
Feel
palate cleanser.
Palate cleanser. It's a very short, funny TikTok. I follow this guy on TikTok. He puts out some funny stuff. This one's called job application.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm a job application for Halloween. Pretty scary, ain't it?
Yeah,
huh? Since nobody wants to work, but can you blame them? They're getting a check. Anyways, best costume of the year, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Job application. Scary.
Oh, Jesus.
Scary.
Oh, Jesus.
Gotta work. Get off your butt.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm a
He's funny. You guys should follow him on TikTok. It's Rowdy Roger. This one actually got nearly 700,000 likes.
Wow.
So it
That's
means...
almost as many as an Amala TikTok.
Almost. Not quite. No. He's way more viral than I am. But that means that 724,000 people thought this was funny and recognized that it's, although satirical, very true. Yeah. So, hope. Silver lining.
Well, I mean, you know what's crazy? Like, there's a very mainstream meme account on mm-hmm. Instagram called White People Humor, and he posted a thing today that was like, you know, the red flags trend that's been going on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like you post something like that's a signal of a red flag in a relationship, and then you post a bunch of red flag emojis. And he posted a leaving like hundreds of Americans in Afghanistan. Red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag, red flag. And
See?
It's like people do have common sense.
They do.
You know, people do. Aren't all entirely brainwashed, even in the mainstream. And that gives me hope that 700 some odd thousand people on TikTok found this, you know, it rang true enough for them to give it a like. And
yep.
so, you know, that's encouraging that maybe we're not just screaming out into the ether, and that there are people out there who do see the madness of what's going on
right.
and aren't just lowering their expectations, but demanding more of society to actually work.
One can only hope. Guys, Keep up the fight. Keep up the good fight. Do not comply. Do your thing. And fight for freedom on a day-to-day basis. This is the fight of our lives, and it's going a lot better than it has for men in our history. So we should keep going. We should keep fighting. And always keep that in perspective. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live. We have a survey that we would love you to take yes. regarding this show. We're going to put it down in the comments. It'll also be in the description down below. We need your responses to this survey, or else the fight is over. Taylor and I will, everybody on this crew, fired, gone. kaputs.
We will not be fighting truth, justice, and the American way any longer.
That is very true. That is very true. I will have to comply if you guys don't fill out the survey. No, but seriously, fill out the survey. We want to know what you guys think about the show, how often you watch it, what segments you would like to see, what other PragerU content you enjoy, and you can leave us little notes and messages on the survey as well. We would love to read out the best ones on the show, whether those are funny ones, mean ones, or very kind ones. So go fill out the survey no matter who you are. Let us know how you feel about Will and Amala live. If you'd like to listen to us rather than watch us, go to Google Play, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Click our show, Will and Amala Live. Give us a 5-star review to let everybody know that you love the show. Let us know that you love the show and hopefully get some more people watching. Sign up for our text notifications by texting live to TO41776. The number is 41776 and text LIVE to that number.
Everybody got all that?
Did you guys get all that?
Amala's just like automatic. I'm just watching in wonder as she just rattles off all of these things. There's no notes, people. There's no teleprompter.
There's no notes. I'm so used to it now. I'm so used to doing this little spiel at the end of the show that we've just gotten there. I've just got it down now.
It's arrived. I'm going to start raising my expectations for you now.
You're like, now that I know that she can memorize this this lengthy spiel about things, the work is going to get a little tougher.
I'll put some new talking points in there about my achievements or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just throw something in there. Also, Taylor is the greatest. Thank you guys for watching. Again, if you are in Minnesota and you want to come see me speak at Winona State University, that is WSU, Winona State University in Minnesota, this Thursday night, I believe it's 6 or 7 p.m. The information's on my Instagram. We'll put the Eventbrite link down below. You can get free tickets to come and see me. I am going to be protested, so that's going to be fun. But the protesters are also running a food drive, so I'm going to bring cans for them. If you guys come out to Winona State, bring cans for them as well. Again, you can register at the Eventbrite link below, and it'll be in the description as well. Free tickets. I will see you guys there for a passionate speech. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Peace.
Bye.